Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Suffering and Glory. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 verse 16 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Picking up in verse 16, Paul says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So Paul says, since we are children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then he adds, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. Now, suffering, generally speaking, is just a part of life. Everybody suffers. There's no one in the world that is exempt from suffering. We suffer because we live in a fallen world. We suffer because we sin and reap the consequences of our disobedience. We suffer because of the evil actions of others. So suffering is inescapable. There's no one that's ever going to escape suffering to some degree or another. But for the Christian, there's a whole other element to suffering. And for the Christian, suffering isn't merely part of what happens because we live in a fallen world, or at times we're disobedient, or because of the evil actions of other people. Suffering, believe it or not, is something that God appoints us to as his people. And this is one of those teachings in the Bible that we're not all that fond of, but it definitely is a reality. The scriptures teach that we are appointed as Christians to suffering. And this suffering relates to our union with Christ. It relates to our growth into his image. And it ultimately relates to our preparation for eternity. This is why the New Testament writers encourage us over and over again not only to expect to suffer, but even to embrace suffering. You know, when you read the New Testament, I mean, you know, it's filled with examples of people who are suffering, even the followers of Jesus. And it's filled with references to suffering, affliction. It's filled with exhortation on how to face and deal with suffering and affliction. Somebody put it this way: the promise of the Old Testament was prosperity. The promise of the New Testament is adversity. And there's really quite a bit of truth to that. But let me give you some examples of what we're told by the New Testament writers. Paul to Timothy. Listen to what he said. He said, "Share with me, Timothy, in suffering for the gospel." That's Paul's invitation to Timothy. Timothy, remember, Timothy was a young pastor. Timothy was Paul's assistant, if you will. And Paul's, you know, training him for ministry. He's discipling him in ministry. And this is a real part of the ministry. Timothy, share with me in suffering for the gospel. And then he said in that second epistle to Timothy, he said, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." To the Philippians, Paul wrote this. He said, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Notice that. It's been granted to you. It's been granted to you as a privilege, really, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. To the Thessalonians, Paul said that none of you should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So you see, these aren't just things that happen incidentally because we live in a fallen world. Paul says we are actually appointed to suffering. And again to the Thessalonians, he said, "We ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." So all throughout Paul's letters, there are these references to the fact that Christians will suffer. But Paul's not the only one who said it. James said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And the Apostle Peter wrote, and he spoke of those who had been grieved by various trials. He referred to the fiery trial, which is to try you. And he said, "Don't think it strange." So you see, this isn't something that we should find strange, that we suffer, that we go through trials. It's part of our calling as God's people. It's part of the whole picture of what it is to be a Christian and of what God is doing in us. Now, like I said, suffering's inescapable. You're going to suffer whether you're a Christian or not. But you also are going to suffer as a Christian. But of course, there's a reason for the suffering, and because there's a reason for it, there are benefits from it, and there are eternal benefits from it as well. Suffering in the world, just because of the fallen state of the world, or because of sinful behavior, or because of the evil actions of others, there's not necessarily a purpose in that. But for us as God's people, there is a purpose in suffering. So right there, we can take encouragement knowing that the sufferings that we're appointed to, there's a reason for them. And that through them, God is doing something in our lives. He's doing something significant. He's doing something meaningful. Now, let's look at, first of all, various forms of suffering referred to in the context of suffering as a Christian. So here the word suffering is just used in a general sense, but here's the point. What is included under this general heading of suffering? When the Bible says that we're going to suffer as God's people, that we're appointed to these afflictions, that we suffer for the kingdom of God, specifically, what does that look like? Well, first of all, the New Testament speaks extensively on suffering in the sense of persecution. Persecution. Now, persecution is suffering at the hands of those hostile to Christ, specifically because of our faith in him. So that's what it is to be persecuted. It's to suffer at the hands of those who are hostile to Christ. And their motive for causing affliction to us is their enmity toward Christ. So they're striking out at us, and in doing so, they're expressing their hostility toward Christ. Now, the early Christians suffered greatly in this sense. There was a tremendous amount of persecution in the early days of the history of the Christian church. And the New Testament writers wrote quite a bit about suffering persecution. Let me quote to you from Paul in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I'm using the NLT to quote from because I think it just expresses it real clearly. Paul says, "We have been beaten, put in jail, faced angry mobs. We are hunted down. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We respond gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash." And then he says about himself specifically, he says, 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." So this is Paul just expressing his experience along with his fellow apostles and servants of the Lord, and then, you know, zeroing in specifically on some of his own afflictions there. In the epistle to the Hebrews, at the end of the epistle there, we read this: "Remember how you kept right on with the Lord, even though it meant terrible suffering." The author is addressing these Hebrew Christians. He says, "Sometimes you were laughed at and beaten, and sometimes you watched and sympathized with others suffering the same things. You suffered with those thrown into jail, and you were actually joyful when all you owned was taken from you." So you get an idea of the kind of suffering that they were going through. They were being mocked and ridiculed, but they were also being physically abused. They were being beaten. They were being thrown into prison. Their goods were being confiscated. Now, this didn't end with the Christianizing of the Roman Empire. Persecution of Christians has continued on down to this very day. And of course, there are certain places where Christians are undergoing intense persecution. So persecution is a part of suffering. But then there's also what you might call hardships. And hardships are different than persecution, but the source is the same. Hardships are difficulties due to Satan's opposition to Christ and Christians. So as we live in the world as Christians and as we seek to please the Lord, we're going to face hardship because there is satanic opposition to us living for God and serving God. And so again, Paul writes about hardships. He says, "We patiently endure troubles, hardships, and calamities of every kind." And then he talks about his own experience. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Those are hardships. And those hardships were all connected to Paul's life as a Christian and to his ministry and to his efforts to bring the gospel to as many people as he possibly could. So these are the kinds of sufferings he's talking about. He's talking about the hardships as well. But then sickness would go under this category of suffering. And Paul was a man who was himself familiar with sickness. He wrote again to the Corinthians, speaking of a thorn in his flesh. You remember him referring to that in the 12th chapter. And he said that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, but he referred to it as an infirmity or a weakness. It seems almost certain that it was some sort of physical ailment that Paul was dealing with. And he, of course, put this under the category of suffering. And so as Christians, we sometimes will suffer with sickness. And we're not being punished because we're sick. It's not a sign of God's disapproval. It's something that God has allowed to come into our lives for, again, those purposes that he has in working out his eternal plan and purpose for our lives. So sickness under the category of suffering. And then I would also include sorrow and emotional affliction. These are all different forms of suffering. And these are the things that Paul says that we have been appointed to. Now, I said there's purpose in suffering. What is the purpose? Or what are the purposes? And generally speaking, there are three. Number one, the number one purpose of suffering is closer communion with Christ. Suffering has a way of drawing us closer to the Lord. Of course, when we're suffering, we're looking for relief. When we're suffering, we're looking for help. When we're suffering, we're looking for some sort of comfort or some sort of answer to what we're going through. So naturally, we go to the Lord for that. And so it has that effect of deepening our communion with Christ. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, when he spoke there in the third chapter of his desire to know the Lord, you remember he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. So Paul's expressed desire is to know Christ. He wants to know Christ in a deeper, fuller way. He realizes that one of the ways through which that's going to happen is through suffering. So he says that I might be conformed to the image of his death. He says that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, that shows you the kind of depth that Paul had. Now, I know that it's inevitable that we'll suffer, and thank God that through it we'll get to know the Lord better. But quite honestly, I don't really pray for suffering. But Paul wasn't hindered by that. Paul expresses there that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul understood that the ultimate thing was knowing Christ. And if it's going to take me suffering to get to know him better, then Lord, I'll suffer. Bring the suffering. Now, we don't have to ask for it. It will come. It will come. Because it's part of the way God is working to bring us closer to the Lord. So know this. When you desire to get closer to the Lord, when you pray for a deeper relationship with him, know that there's going to be an element of suffering that's going to be part of the answer to that prayer. And it's a good thing because it forces me to the Lord. I can think of so many times in my life where in times of deep suffering, I've just had no alternative really but to cling to Jesus. And it's during those times that the Lord just seems to sort of strip everything else away, and you really become, you know, sort of spiritually lean and in shape. There's no flabbiness because you're not, you're not carrying around all of this excess baggage. It's just, you're just right there with the Lord, and it sharpens you and it fine-tunes you. And God allows those things to come our way. So there is the closer communion with Christ, and then secondly, there is more conformity to the image of Christ. It's through suffering that God is making us more like Jesus. Listen to what Peter said. He said, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, listen, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So it's in suffering that we have an opportunity to be made more like Christ as we follow the example of Jesus in suffering. Now, of course, when we suffer, we're faced with temptation. And the temptation is to become bitter. The temptation is to be resentful. The temptation is to curse God rather than bless God. But as we make the right decision, and as we accept, as Job would say, as we accept from the hand of the Lord both good and evil, as we just simply say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do through this, I'm submitted to that, that's when we open ourselves up to a greater conformity to the image of Christ, because that is, of course, what Jesus did. Jesus was totally submitted to the will of the Father, even though that included the cross and all those things that would lead up to the cross. So there's the closer communion with Christ, there's the conformity to the image of Christ, but then there is what Paul would refer to in his letter to the Corinthians. There is that eternal weight of glory. And there he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, the problem that all of us grapple with is the problem of seeing things from the eternal perspective. We have a tendency to be short-sighted. We have a tendency to just look at the immediate situation. We need to learn how to see beyond the immediate, and not only out into the future, but we need to see beyond the future out into eternity. And we need to realize that God is working an eternal purpose for us. Now, it's true with me, and I would imagine it is with you as well. When I'm going through a difficulty, when I'm going through a hardship, when I'm going through suffering of whatever sort, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, Lord, you're doing something in me, and I want you to accomplish what you desire to do. I understand that this is an opportunity to have deeper communion with Christ. I understand that this is a means through which I'm being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. But a lot of times what I fail to do is see this in an eternal light. And that's what we need to learn to do. Because we tend to be time-bound. We tend to always be thinking of things in terms of, well, okay, I know that, you know, I can get through this and it'll pass, and then, you know, there will eventually be a good thing that will come. And a lot of times that is the case. But we have to look beyond that, because God is calling us beyond time. He's calling us beyond looking at things merely in this life. He's calling us to get an eternal perspective. And what he's doing in us is preparing us for eternity. So if I have not allowed that process of preparation to take place while here on earth, that's going to result in a limited experience in eternity. You see, God is preparing us for things that we don't even at this point have any clue about. But if you think of what's happened just in the period of time that we've been here on the earth, if you think of all the experiences we've been through and all of the different things, and as you become a Christian, the plan that God has for your life and how, you know, he begins to work out his will and he sends you in a certain direction and he has gifted you to accomplish these things. And if all of that has taken place in this relatively brief period of time that we call life here on earth, how much more do you think is going to be taking place when we step into eternity? And so what God is doing right now is equipping us for the future, the ultimate future.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Suffering and Glory. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Suffering and Glory. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0141. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Brodersen. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Brodersen. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.